Welcome to the Quality Matters Podcast. I'm Sarah Klein, and I'm speaking with Justin Starn about the use of health information technology to improve quality. You work at the Marshfield Clinic in Wisconsin, which has been investing in health information technology since the 1960s. What has the clinic learned about leveraging that technology to make a difference in patient care and quality improvement?
I think the first thing that we've learned is that it does take a long time. We've been at this for over 40 years, and we're still not where we want to be. It's important to remember that technology is just a tool. If you take your entire medical record and move it onto a computer but don't change anything else, you're not going to achieve any benefits. The only way you actually achieve the benefit of having an electronic health record is if you're willing to use that to change the way you practice medicine.
Can you give us an example of that? How so?
Sure. Typically, medicine is practiced like an assembly line, where you have a patient who comes in front of you for 6 minutes, and you treat what they have, and you send them off, and you don't think about them very much till they show up in front of you again. We need to start thinking of it more like air traffic control, where the physician is monitoring their 2,000 or 3,000 patients all the time and seeing who's on a good trajectory, who's on a bad trajectory, and then intervenes with the patients who are on a bad trajectory before they crash in the ER. As part of our work with the CMS PGP demonstration project, we've developed an application we call Intervention List, which allows the physician to view their entire panel of patients sorted by their quality metrics that need to be addressed. And that allows the physician to see which patients they need to get on the phone and say, hey, you need to come in for a visit, or hey, you're overdue for your mammogram, let's schedule one for you. That is a completely different way of thinking about medicine than we've done it historically. And I think that that is really where we need to be getting to.
So how do we help physicians make that transition?
That is a tough answer. I think the first is managing expectations. Our chief technology officer, Carl Christensen, has a wonderful phrase. He calls EHRs the race to the starting line. It's important to realize that simply installing an EHR doesn't get you very much. And if you're looking at an EHR, simply picking one that takes everything you're currently doing and moves it onto a computer doesn't get you very much. What you instead have to be doing is asking the question, what could I be doing? What questions do I want to ask about my patients that I could never ask in a paper system? And will the system allow me to take that next step and practice medicine in a new way?
Could you give us an example or two of that?
Sure. We recently had a case of one of the drugs that the FDA recalled. We were able to, in less than 24 hours, find every patient in our system across our 2 million patients that was on that drug and schedule a phone call with them to get them in and change them to a different drug. A paper-based physician would never think of asking their medical clerk, would you please read through these 3,000 charts and find me all the patients that are on this drug so I can call them?
Obviously, there's great benefit in doing this. What sort of things can we do on a system-wide level or national level to facilitate the transformation?
I think one thing that is critically important is that we have a national shortage of biomedical informaticians.
And those are?
Informaticians are the people, there are lots of definitions, but essentially they're the people who focus on the connection between people and computers. So they're not computer scientists. They look at how the technology actually impacts the workflow and the process of medicine. Implementing an EHR is a huge organizational change, and it's not something that should be done by people who are not trained in doing it, which is why we need more informaticians.
Gotcha. What are some of the other issues that need to be addressed to maximize the value of this investment?
I think that the recent Institute of Medicine report on comparative effectiveness hit on a very important issue, which is that we need to be evaluating EHR-based interventions. These intervention lists like I talked about, reminders, various other technology tools, the same way we would any other treatment intervention, a new drug or a new procedure. Right now, what we know is that some interventions, when implemented in large medical centers, have had large improvement in quality. What we don't know is if those same changes, if rolled out to the average general practice across the country, would have the same sort of benefit.
And many of those leading centers have developed their systems in-house, as Marshfield has done. What is the value of doing it that way?
It's important to remember that medical practice varies with organizations and across the nation. Customizing an EHR to fit with a large practice is a huge amount of work. And often it's as easy to build something yourself than it is to do the customization. It's also important to remember we've been at this a long time. Mm-hmm. When we started, there were no ambulatory systems that could support a practice of this scale. So you either built or you went without and waited. Third is that the Marshfield approach to the EHR is different from virtually every other implementation that I know of. And that is that we made a conscious choice to attach the computing to the caregiver, not to the care location. So we are based on wireless handheld tablets. And each of our nurses and each of our physicians is issued a tablet, and that is theirs. You can't simply take a regular EHR and drop it on a tablet. So that really required custom development.
And what are some of the differences in terms of the applications between the desktop versus the tablet method?
Well, I think the biggest difference is that in a tablet, you're using a pen stylus to select things, and on a desktop, you're typically dealing with a keyboard. So selecting things from lists can be very fast and very efficient on a tablet. Filling out forms with checkboxes is extremely fast, but actually trying to type in a drug name or anything on a keyboard is going to be extremely slow.
I see. Well, based on your experience at Marshfield, how long do you think it'll be before we start to see a change as a result of this investment?
Unfortunately, a lot longer than most people hope.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at major technology changes in other industries, the common time frame that is out there is that it takes a decade to really reap the benefit of a technology upgrade. I think we'll start seeing significant improvements in a few years, but we will not take every practice in the country and move them to the state of the leading centers in 2 years. It will take a half a decade or a decade.
Well, thank you so much for your insights. We appreciate your time as well. And thanks for listening to the Quality Matters podcast. For more information about this topic, visit our website, commonwealthfund.org, to read an InFocus article on this topic and a case study featuring Alabama's Medicaid program.